Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today we do get into a conversation about what does it mean to operate in the digital economy. There's a lot that we hear about it over the last 2 years. I think digital transformation has become one of the biggest buzzwords, you know, that we hear in and around the world of business in South Africa. And not only in South Africa, around the world, you know, this acceleration towards, you know, more digital services, automation, e-commerce, and, you know, all of that. But one of the big things, you know, that a person has to do if they're going to get into the world of digital business is to at least have some type of a digital presence. And, you know, there's no badge of honor that says legitimacy more than having your own website. And, for a lot of companies, a lot of businesses, that tends to be the first port of call that people tend to interact with, or to at least show that you do exist in this digital economy. And for today, we are talking specifically about domains, specifically .co.za. People will know that there are a lot of domains around the world. If you don't know what a domain is, we're basically talking about the extension at the end of a URL or a link, you know, when you go to a website. You know, most of the time we hear of the .com, for example, YouTube.com. But if you come to websites such as the platform upon which this podcast is being hosted, that is Business Live, you'll see that is businesslive.co.za to denote the fact that this is a South African, you know, registered website. We see this happening, you know, all over the world. You know, you have .co.uk, .co.zw, just depends on where you are. But one of the big ones usually is to just promote websites, you know, being registered where they are to have that domain extension. So for today, we are going to be having quite an interesting discussion. I'm hoping that it doesn't turn too nerdy, because I get, you know, very, very much into this stuff, because basically the .za domain name authority has published new draft rules aimed at further regulating the registration and operation of websites in South Africa. For local hosting companies that offer domain name registrations and registrar services, fees payable, they, you know, all of this stuff, they are trying to increase prices. And one of the big players in the space is saying that that might actually reduce competition. So for today, we are going to be talking to local web hosting company OneGrid, which has raised some concern around some of these regulations, just to understand how deep is this issue. You know, where does it fall within the context of everything that people are currently trying to deal with in the world, and what does it mean for businesses? So to help me to understand, you know, everything that's happening, we are joined by Monet Patterson, who is the financial director over at OneGrid, and we're just going to be having that conversation. It's actually an interesting one, because I think the last conversation I had with Monet, we were talking about the fact that there had been good growth in terms of, you know, in terms of people registering more and more websites, you know, in South Africa. So I'm interested to understand what these new regulations are going to mean about that. So Monet, greetings to you today.
Thank you, Madimi. Thank you for having me.
Perhaps maybe a good place for us to start, before we get into the meat and potatoes of today's discussion, some of the nitty gritties around .co.za and all of the regulations around it. Some insight into the company itself, OneGrid. You know, what is it that you guys do? I understand you guys, you know, are were sort of born out of what used to be called, you know, Web Africa back in the day. But maybe you could give us a little bit of that background in history.
Perfect. So Web Africa previously comprised two different divisions. It had the connectivity of the fiber business, and it had the hosting business. So back in 2018, decision was made to split those two businesses into two, because the connectivity of fiber business is very different to the hosting asset. And the hosting asset or division, which was previously housed within Web Africa, is what OneGrid is in today's form. So essentially what our business is about is enabling targeting SMEs and providing them the platform to get online though and access, you know, the digital ecosystem. So, you know, we're a big hosting provider in South Africa. We have 35,000 customers, you know, and that customer base comprises, you know, smaller customers. So your mom and pop shops, bakeries, plumbers, etc. And then you're going over to the more enterprise type of customers that we have. So within our portfolio, we cater with the products that we have, basically for, you know, to that entire audience, allowing for, you know, their specific needs that they require, to get online. And like I said, I mean, for us, our philosophy is our target is focusing on SMEs. We're passionate about, you know, removing poverty and creating employment within this country. And as a result, you know, that's where we are as a business, and that's what we strive for.
Okay, cool. I think that gives us a little bit of background. That's actually, you know, quite a lot. I wouldn't have realized that there are so many websites, you know, in South Africa, because I can imagine that if you guys have 35,000, you know, customers on your end, I can imagine what the combined market looks like, you know, for the other, you know, domain registrars and, you know, website hosting companies, you know, that are out there in South Africa. So now turning our attention to these, you know, the new regulations, we've already spoken about the fact that the authority wants local hosting companies that offer domain name registrations and such services, you know, to have additional license conditions and fees, you know, payable, you know, via the registry. Mm-hmm. And you guys are saying that that may impact, you know, that might see us having higher prices, impact, you know, competitive pricing, etc. Before we get too far, you know, given everything that's going on in the economy, from the price of fuel, you know, to I think right now people are crying about the price of cooking oil. Is this just not what's happening at the moment in the economy, that prices are just going up? Like, what is the issue at the moment?
Look, roughly 12 months ago, you know, the local domains, there was a price increase within the industry. It went up by 10 rand per domain. And effectively, that was the first price increase which we saw, you know, over the past 5 to 10 years. So, and that effectively the motivation behind that was, you know, that there are certain overheads and costs, et cetera, you know, that the regulators, the guys that are managing, you know, the space, you know, need to go and cover those costs. So that has already been taken care of as far as I'm concerned. This over here specifically, the cost that we're talking about here is that if there is, you know, if a customer comes to your website and you want to onboard him, and there's certain checks that you need to go and validate his identity. You need to make sure that you've got the right physical address. You know, it's similar to what you would do with a cell phone or weaker type of processes. There's physical costs that are associated with that though. So because of that, there are more people, there are more overheads, more systems, et cetera, which are needed to be put into place. And effectively those types of costs land up being passed on to the consumer though. So this over here, is not something to deal with, you know, overhead, you know, and the increased cost of living, fuel, et cetera, like you allude to. This is really a compliance cost, you know, through the advent of this regulation, which would be passed on to the consumer.
And in the greater scheme of things, when we talk about some of these increases, I think you mentioned the fact that last year there was an increase of, let's say, 10 rand or something like that per domain. Can you put that into context for us, what 10 rand actually means for people that are paying to have their websites, I guess, up and hosted?
Yeah, I mean, if you register a domain once a year, and you renew that domain once a year, though. So typically, the average price of a .co.za domain in South Africa is 99 rand, which is not a lot. But the reality is, domains in general are not expensive, and it's a barrier, a perceived barrier, for the community when they're wanting to introduce or get online and make that initial upfront cost or investment. If you're having a look at, your typical standard hosting packages, or let's say you want to use one of our website builder tools, or you want to use our professional email tool, you could have access to those services for anything from 50 to 100 rand a month, which is, I believe it's extremely, accessible and it's affordable, But unfortunately, you know, when there was the price increase, which took place last year, you could see the impact of that on the local .co.za domain registrations. And you know, talking about stats and numbers, you know, we have 1.3 million .co.za domains registered in South Africa. So theoretically, that's the maximum number of websites, you know, that could be, you know, sort of hosted with the .co.za domain name. But we have 60 million people within this country. Now, 1.3 million domains, it sounds great. But if you're looking at in this type of country where people are looking for hope, where they're looking for opportunity to try and find something, you know, to allow for them to earn an income, getting that domain name forms the foundation of allowing that person to get online, to access all of these things. But it's a natural barrier though. And all these extra costs though, it has an impact, unfortunately, you know, on these registrations. And as a result, you could see we're only sitting on 1.3 million domain registrations in this country.
So when it comes to that, the actual concern that we're having, is it that people are going to be dissuaded from actually getting online and actually registering their websites? Or are we afraid that people would then choose to do something else because it's an opportunity cost, right? I can either register .co.za or I can just say, okay, fine. You guys are increasing your prices. I might as well go for the more expensive and better known .com.
Yeah, I mean, you raised the point earlier around, you know, the .com domain name having more credibility, and I think that's right. But if you're looking at within this local market here, you know, there are far more local registrants and participants, consumers, that are registering .co.za domains, and not some of your international GOTLDs, as we call it, though. So, and I think a lot of that is an educational thing. So for you, you understand the value of a .com domain. But if you have a look at, you know, the normal person in the street that wants to form an online presence, you know, he doesn't look at it like that though, you know. So the .co.za is the entry point. So you stand the real possibility of not registering any of getting any of those customers online by increasing that local domain price because they aren't familiar, with the other domain names. Another outcome, which I believe, is a bigger, risk, is that we'll start seeing, because the local costs of these domains become more expensive, you'll start seeing that 1.3 million account start to regress as people that are familiar with some of these other domain names start, you know, registering more in those spaces. And as a result, you know, our local pride, the .co.za domain name, will start going backwards.
And that's actually, you know, quite an interesting one, because I guess for a lot of people that are trying to register websites, that is a point of concern. And at least like what you said, there are 1.3 million. That's a big number that you said, you know, of the .co.za's that are actually registered. And I guess it points to the fact that there are a lot of people who do support, you know, having that domain name. And I'm guessing that, you know, part of the discussion is, you know, does the person even bother, you know, if the costs become, you know, too much, you know, does a person even bother having a website, or do they say, okay, it's fine, I'll just register my Instagram, my Facebook, and, you know, that'll be that.
You know, I think there's good intention behind a lot of what they're trying to do here. But what we need to realize is that this type of activity, if you're looking at the domain names, which are growing the most globally, none of them have additional red tape or barriers to entry, you know, such as what's being proposed over here. So, you know, I mean, so ultimately, you know, as a consumer, you know, if there's additional data or information which you need to provide, obviously it's going to become more, you know, problematic for that customer when you start looking at other alternatives. So, I mean, one thing I just want to go back onto as well, which we haven't really touched on, is that businesses such as ours, you know, that are offering these domains into South Africans, you know, that there are licenses that need to be applied for. They're awarded on a 10-year basis. But there are things such as internal audits and other compliance costs within the business additionally, you know, which need to you know, sort of be adhered to. You need to motivate, you know, your BEE status, you know, and what your plan is around that, et cetera. There hasn't been any sort of comment around how that would impact, you know, awarding of these licenses. But the reality is that this type of thing is going to result in consolidation within the registrar space as well. We'll see smaller businesses that are competing against guys such as ourselves, where it won't be feasible for them to go and have these internal audits and these different controls, et cetera, in place. You'll start seeing, a lack of a market that is less competitive, impacts a consumer at the end of the day. So I think that's another point, which shouldn't be overlooked. In terms of what these guys are trying to do, I think there's a new team, at Zadma. So there've been a number of changes that have taken place within that entity. And these regulations have been discussed for quite some time. So this isn't something that's new. They've been sort of pondering and stewing on this, for quite a bit. But what we believe and what we hope is that through conversations such as these, we're also participating in broader forums, where together as a Red Straw community, we're putting forward, petitions and voices, et cetera, to these guys, just trying to help them understand, what the impact this can have on the market. Because at the end of the day, all of us want more local domains, .co.za domains. And if I can get that 1.3 million number up to 2 million, that means that could lead to a significant increase of the digital ecosystem within South Africa. And everyone is going to make more money at the end of the day, though. And so what we are hoping is that through these dialogue sessions and these conversations, that the new team will sit up, understand, take note of that, and hopefully understand that we all in this, in this together, and ultimately what we want is to grow the local domain market share, not for it to regress. And we believe that these regulations are going to cause it to go backwards.
Monet, when it comes to businesses and regulation and this type of thing, those that take a cynical view might well say that a company like OneGrid is raising concerns about an issue like this, because it's something that might negatively impact them as a business, that OneGrid is trying to look out for its own interests as a business. But it's the consolidation comment that I'm interested to sort of drill down on, because it sort of sounds as if you're saying that this is something that would impact more the smaller businesses in the space, as opposed to a business such as yours, that those businesses run the risk of being swallowed up over time if the run rates and your costs become too excessive.
Yes.
Or you get to a situation where some of the smaller players don't have, their anchor clients or customers to hold them down.
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, so these changes, obviously we need to look after ourselves here, but these changes will impact the smaller registrars more so than anybody else. So, and for some of them, like I said, it's just not viable for them to put these systems and things in place. A lot of these businesses are smaller businesses that, they're not making a lot of money, but they're obviously aspiring to grow and grow with the local market. And, with things like this that are rising, there are serious business continuity, concerns with these types of businesses though. So, from our side, yes, I can tell you, are we trying to protect ourselves? Yeah, of course we are. I mean, we're a business. But ultimately what we believe is that, you don't want to go and introduce regulation which makes you anti-competitive against the global community. And what we see in places like the States, in Europe, et cetera, where, the more successful international domains aren't subject to these types of criteria. And for us, it's important that we drive that, because, like I said initially, part of our vision and our goals is to eradicate unemployment within this country and to help people get out that don't have hope, find something where they can go and access a digital global community, create employment for themselves and go and feed their families at the end of the day. And that fundamentally, that principle, which I'm articulating there, this type of thing smacks against that. We also hear, we've recently heard Cyril Ramaphosa coming out and saying, what's important for South Africa is we want to be, at the forefront, a tech pioneer on the African continent. Now, if that is the case, why are we doing these types of things? Because this type of thing stifles innovation. It stifles that growth, digitally, technically, though. And so that's the broader concern that we have is, what are the implications of this on this entire local market? Rather than, what the cost is to our business, though, we also like to work together with our competitors, because we think there's a lot of growth opportunity within South Africa. So I don't believe we're too territorial. We share, quite a bit of information about ourselves, because the opportunity is there. But this type of thing, unfortunately, contradicts that. And that fundamentally is what our biggest concern is as a business.
All right. So just before, you know, we sort of end off, one of the things I'm then curious about, because we've sort of articulated, you know, the case of how the regulations could hurt competition and all of that, right? Yeah. Of what you've just, spoken to us about, what do you think is the biggest bottleneck or the biggest danger? Because you've got two sides of of the same coin here. You've got the customer side, the people that are actually trying to register websites, that there is a potential price increase on top of last year's increase that is being dealt with. But on the side of the domain hosting companies and the registering companies, there's a bigger, what you call this, onus in terms of data collection and the systems, etc. So of those two things, which one do you think is the biggest deterrent? Is it that customers will see the 100 plus 10 plus whatever amount as being, you know, too much, or rather on the side of the registering companies themselves saying, no, the onus, this is too onerous, we might as well just fold? Where do you see the biggest danger lying?
Look, on the latter, the point where, you know, some of our competitors struggling with some of these regulations and implementing those, I mean, the reality is, if those businesses aren't around tomorrow, those customers, will be sitting with an alternative hosting provider such as us, though. So, I think, so that is the sort of the outcome of what could happen over there. And that doesn't really impact what does in the long term, because I believe, you need to have as many competitors in place, though, to allow for a free market. But outside of that, it's definitely the sort of the onboarding processes, the compliance costs, which are going to get passed on to the consumer, that's going to have the biggest impact. And like I said, time will tell. And if it actually does get implemented the way it's been drafted in the current regulations, it would be sad, because I firmly believe that we'll start seeing, our local domain count, regressing. And in this type of community, this type of country, like I said, that would be extremely disappointing to see, though, So, that definitely, I believe will have the biggest impact. And then, because there's less people within the space, less consumers, and like I said, they're not all going to go over and explore one of these other domain names. It's going to affect all of us, though, And so the South African digital ecosystem or community, the guys that are accessing, building websites, the guys that are, have their own personalized email, those types of guys, there'll be less of them, though. And as a result, it's going to impact all of us, though, and it's going to cause this part of our economy to go backwards, though. So that for me is definitely what the bigger issue is, from these regulations.
Okay, and I certainly do get it with you, especially on the smaller business side. I can definitely see how something like that might see some of the smaller businesses incurring costs that might take them a bit of time to actually recover. So as we end off, Monet, two points on my end. The first one, because you are the finance person over at One Group. I'm going to ask somewhat of a nerdy question, but I think it's important to contextualize, this discussion, from the customer side. If I'm registering a website, a .co.za website, and let's say, we're going to use a round number of 100 rand, right? How is my 100 rand split, in the ecosystem? Because I'm sure there's money that's coming to you, and there's probably money that goes to the regulator. Probably some tax that's involved inside there, whether it's VAT or something. How is my 100 rand split?
So, I can tell you that we don't make a lot of money on domains. We don't know what these costs will be and when they're, and what we can actually pass on to the consumer. But of that 100 rand, I would say, it's very likely that we'd only be taking about 20% of that. You've got SARS who's collecting 15% of that money, and then the rest of that cost is being passed on to the regulators effectively. So, what do they do with that money? You know, I think the mandate, my understanding is their mandate is to grow the ecosystem, to market, to create awareness, et cetera, so that more people become familiar with the CoSA domain, want to register these domains so that we can continue to grow the market. You know, the level of, initiative and activity that's been driven behind that. I think, that's something that the guys are working on. And hopefully, you know, if these types of things come in and we are seeing these extra overheads that are passed on, you know, that the regulators, they come and they engage with, you know, the local communities, and we try and work together, to grow the ecosystem though. So yeah, but to cut a long story short, you know, 15% of the 100 is going to SARS, and say 20% is going to us, and about 65% will be going to the regulators.
Okay, cool. I think that's a nice breakdown, you know, for people to understand, you know, how that costing is working. And then finally, websites as a whole, right? You've surprised us with all of these numbers and stats around how many .co.za domains there are, in the, what you call this, in the country and all of that. But, you know, when you talk to, you know, millennials, when you talk to Gen Zs, social media really does seem as if it's the way forward. When you see a lot of activity out there, I know a number of people, personally who run their businesses purely, through Instagram accounts, Facebook accounts, that type of thing. Maybe you could talk to us, as a final point, just around the, what you call this growth in actual domains. Are people still registering websites, or do you find yourselves increasingly competing with the social media websites?
Look, yes, so the local domain market share is growing, and it's continued to grow. These platforms such as Facebook, Instagram, etc. I mean, I've discussed this with a number of people in the past, you know, around, are these platforms replacing, you know, your legacy websites that you have? You know, we haven't seen that as a business. You know, it might be a stepping stone, you know, for somebody to start engaging, you know, with the digital world by using some of these channels. But what we're seeing as a business is that these really, they aren't actually the underlying platform, the website. These are channels of that brand, of that online presence though, you know. So, you know, the guys, they have a website, but on top of that though, they'll be running brand awareness through Facebook. They'll be trying to drive lead generation through Facebook or Instagram. So those are parts of the puzzle though, and we're not seeing it eat into our lunch. We also, you know, the other interesting point is, I mean, I spoke a few months ago around our websites heading for their Kodak moment. And I said, no, I actually think it's a good thing because it helps people become familiar and aware and wanted to get online and form their own website. And I actually think, you know, a lot of these big platforms, though, they're becoming less and less relevant, you know. But things such as Facebook, you know, our generation, you know, that's quite commonplace to use that. But, you know, the young guns that are starting to dip into the space, you know, Facebook is, you know, it's something that is not the sort of the, you know, the flavor of the month type of thing. And we're looking at other avenues, though, you know. And so because of that, the things will continuously change, but the core, the foundation of that entire digital offering is the website. And we can see that in our numbers. We can see how the website counts grow. We can also see another product that is underplayed is our personalized email application. Would you be comfortable to go and buy an insurance product from one of our bigger providers, you know, that are emailing you from a Gmail account? Of course you wouldn't, you know. And so a small thing like getting access, you know, to our personalized email tool, the professional email tool, you can get that for 50 Rand a month. You know, you start communicating, you start engaging professionally with the world using your own personalized domain. And that adds a huge amount of trust and credibility though. We've seen that product specifically has been growing exponentially because it's subtle, but people often overlook that. And it's the whole trust thing. It's the brand. You know, I'm comfortable with this business. They're not just using something generic. They've taken the time. They've created this, you know, this professional image, this email, and I feel more confident when I'm engaging with them. So we're seeing that product even more so, but we're seeing that in the website builder products growing as a result, and the social media platforms are not eating into that.
All right. So that's been us. We were talking to Monet Patterson, who is the financial director, over at One Grid, talking to us about, some of the new regulations that have been proposed, by the .za domain name authority, just around, increasing the amount of data, that is being collected, but also at the same time increasing, some of the costs, that actually come, with hosting, you know, websites, but also at the same time having your website hosted, and talking about how all of that might actually lead us to a situation where the local market becomes, you know, somewhat, you know, uncompetitive, and you actually drive out certain players, particularly, some of the smaller players, if you make it a little bit too onerous. You know, Monet is actually saying that, you might find that some of the smaller players, might actually just fold because it's a bit too much. The costs of implementing systems and all of that, might be a bit too much. And then at the same time, there's all of this competition, for, you know, .za, you know, such as .coms, such as, you know, your social media platforms. But at the end of the day, you know, having some type of a, digital storefront, you know, that is bespoke, that, that is, you know, registered, you know, still has, an air of legitimacy that, you know, is very hard to find. So Monet, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time, and yeah, all the best, and I look forward to chatting to you sometime again in the future.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Very important discussion just around, you know, the state of .co.za in South Africa. But one of the key things that, you know, I thought I could, you know, maybe focus on, is this issue of actually having a website versus, social media. It's one of those things that I've personally been advocating for people to have, some type of a website, you know, online, either for yourself as a personal brand or maybe as a business, right? Simply because it's one of those things that you sort of have, you know, for lack of a better word, and excuse the pun, but you have, you know, dominion or domain over. Simply because most of the time when you look at social media sites, I'll take Instagram and YouTube just to illustrate what I mean. YouTube less so as a social networking site, but rather as a platform that a lot of people have, you know, used as a channel, you know, to promote their businesses on is YouTube. And then you also have, you know, things like your Instagrams, a lot of people influencing all of that stuff, selling their products, using some of those commerce tools. But one of the key things between the two platforms is that you always see this change in algorithms, right? And as a business, if you've based, let's say, for example, you were a business that got onto Instagram in the early days when Instagram was still a primarily a photo sharing site, and you invested a lot, in your photo capturing abilities, etc., then you might have, you know, been taken aback recently, when the head of Instagram said that, Instagram photos are going to be taking a bit of a back seat, and now they primarily want Instagram to be a video sharing site in light of all the stuff that's happening with TikTok, etc. And you see now, you know, photos sort of falling by the wayside in favor of video content if you're not doing videos. And not just videos, but vertical videos, right? You know, for the mobile first audience. And if, and because a site like Instagram doesn't belong to the average Joe out there, it's a publicly traded company in the US. If I'm on Instagram, I don't own the platform. I'm not in charge of how the platform runs and works. So I'm sort of at the behest of the platform, which is why it's sort of better to have your own website. Same can be said about YouTube. Coming back to the TikTok thing, they're trying to promote short video content to compete with what's going on TikTok. And if you are someone who's been investing in making long form sort of content and they start switching up their platform in favor of some of the short videos so that they can compete with TikTok. That puts you as the user of the platform as a disadvantage, unless you also start switching and changing your content, chasing that algorithm. And as great as it is to be chasing those algorithms, chasing the new platform rules, etc., how far does it go? You know what I'm saying? Because these things are constantly changing. Once upon a time, hashtags were a thing, but now they're less so. Now video is a thing. What's going to be the next thing? But if at least you have your own website, you can at least have that as, control that channel of distribution, that channel of communication. People have also had their social media platforms taken away from them. Perhaps you get a community strike or something like that, and your page that you've spent years developing, gaining followers, etc., gets taken away. What do you do? But if at least you've registered your own website, that's something that you at least have that dominion over, and you get to control that thing. So just a little bit of a word just around that, and I definitely do think everyone should at least have that own point of presence. Yes, use all of the aggregated tools such as social media, because that's where the eyeballs are. But as much as possible, try by all means to funnel the traffic to your own channels. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.